The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's the Weekend Podcast. And joining me there is Pete and Steve. You're all lads.
Weekend.
Hello. Weekend.
Happy weekend.
Yeah, of course. The weekend is a big deal for most people. For the crazy crypto crowd, the cryptocurrency is just traded 24 hours a day. Any of you too over crypto? Did you take the advantage of the dip, by the way, in the cryptos?
Yep, I did.
I was actually going to message you this week about that and whether it'll be worth getting in on that little dip. It's still kind of down though, isn't it?
Yes. Bitcoin, for example, did have a bit of a crash. It went up to $20,000, of course, Bitcoin. I thought it was, and then it came back all the way back this week to just under $10,000. So it halved pretty much in price, and but it dropped. You know, it was massive, and all the other cryptos went with it as well. And I think it was stemming from Chinese regulation and all this stuff and other things happening. Do you know what? I do think this is a bubble. I'm interested in it because, of course, some of the gains on the cryptos are phenomenal. I looked earlier on, and one had already gained 1,300% in 24 hours. That is nuts, isn't it? But I mean, I think this future in, you know, some of them, of course, but not all of them, because there's 2,000 sort of tokens. And I know a lot of people are saying, I'm in a group of crypto guys on an app. Yeah, I'm in a group with them.
I bet they're fun at parties.
They're trying to justify the valuation, saying no, it's not market cap, because there are 10 companies, right? 10 cryptocurrencies valued above 10 billion, right? And they have no sort of revenue, of course. They're loss making, so it's just crazy, really, how that goes on. And I said, well, it's not really a market cap, you know, it's more a digital asset. And I said, well, it doesn't matter what it is. If the asset's not worth anything, you know, how do you justify 10 billion? And we don't know if they're going to work out, most of these things. So essentially, a lot of it is just hype and hope. But, I said, if you want to get, I did write a blog actually on crypto. And that was two ways to get exposure to crypto without trading cryptocurrencies. And one of them was getting free POW token. Yeah, which is Simon Weisenberg, who's come on the podcast a couple of times, is free. And another one is investing in Kryptonite One, which is a company that invests in cryptocurrencies. And because they're a bigger fund, they got offered pre-ICOs and all this stuff. So,
what did you buy in at on Kryptonite?
Kryptonite One. I think I bought about 11 pence originally.
Okay.
But what annoyed me, they went
just,
up to,
just in the 16 pence now.
Yeah, they went up to 21 pence, and then of course this week on the crash they came back. But I think there are a couple of about three or four guys there who know this stuff within Kryptonite One, and they know exactly what they're looking for, and they're looking at, you know, long term investments, and they're getting on advantageous sort of level. You know, they got pre IPO, so not even IPO, ICO. I mean, they're pre ICOs. And so I think, do you know what, if you want exposure, that's probably a safer way to do it if you want to get involved in it all. So and they're only 15 million market cap at the moment, I think. And like I said, the first half of this of 2017, they made 4 million in profit. And I think, wow, it's a lot for a 15 million market cap, a lot of profit there. And in the second 6 months of 2017, the cryptocurrencies went even more crazy. So I'm thinking they probably earned a lot more, actually, than that in the second half. So, I think it's worth getting in. You know, if you want to get exposure, do your own research, of course.
But, yes. Kryptonite One's still on what's it called? The Nexus Exchange. No, what is it?
Nex, yeah. N-E-X.
Nex. That's it.
Now, the thing is, you can get in your ISA. But like I said, certain brokers don't do it, because I've had someone message me on Twitter, so they can't do it. I've asked them about three times. I don't know who he's with, but I had an email Barclays and they said, no, we don't do that. And I said, the CEO's on the podcast. I said, you do? And they said, let me ask. Yes, we're not going to do that. I said, well, why? It's going to be the next big thing. All banks invested. And she came back and said, okay, you can do that now. So I could do it.
So if you, at the moment, so you can buy it in an ISA then, do you say?
Yeah, it's available in ISA. And if there's people, if you're a broker doesn't do it, they're just rubbish. You know, so are you joking? I said, listen, blockchain is massive. Do you understand? It's just say, you know, it's huge. Bitcoin, all that. It's massive.
I think they know that.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like they didn't take much persuading.
Yeah, that's what I said, it's massive. Yeah, come on, it's massive, man. It's huge. Oh, massive.
Right, okay. If you say so.
I said, no, we don't do it. I said, okay, but it is massive. Oh, we do it. But I know that people can't get it. I don't know why. I don't know if Harry Larry, who is walking through mud in Wellington boots?
Sorry, I was drinking water.
How is that drinking water? What were you doing with it?
I opened my mouth and kind of poured it in my mouth.
No, it was going backwards and forwards, Steve. Like you were from cheek to cheek.
Swilling it. Well, no, that's what happens when you swallow.
It doesn't go from cheek to cheek, Steve.
Anyway, moving on.
Lady in red.
Were you swilling it round your mouth?
Yeah.
No. I was just drinking it like a normal person would.
Do it again.
Hang on.
Weird.
Yeah. I'm drinking water.
Are you drinking lots of gulps here? You're drinking lots?
Yeah.
Steve is bolting pints of water. Literally, he's on the fifth pint of water.
It's Friday, apparently.
Yeah, that's, I bolt pints of water on a Friday. I love it. I just stay in. I just bolt loads of pints of water on my own. It's Friday, guys.
He looks at the podcast. Oh, guys, another half an hour. How can I fill the time this week?
I get drunk on water.
I've
had 16 pints of water. I'm still sober as a judge. sometimes we've had a bit of volatility, isn't it, in the markets?
Mm-hmm.
I think
that quite often the case.
Yeah, but no. But on Wednesday, I literally looked at my portfolio, and I've got 20 stocks I hold. I think about sort of 15 of them are red, and about three were sort of non-movers, and sort of three were green. That's 21. But what's going on here? Sometimes it's often easy to say, the market's correcting. We've had a big, we've had a big sort of time of it. It's all going to sell off now. Let's get out. Because traditionally, though, seasonality says that we should sort of basically. What is going on now? Steve, you got Velcros on your eyebrows or something? What's going on?
Hang on. Oh, my microphone. My microphone was touching my hoodie.
Oh, he's in his hoodie, bolting pints of water. Are you drinking as well?
Yeah.
But is something profound, right? But sometimes, right, and this is an old saying. I mean, this is not the profound bit. But it's an old saying. Time. Well, you know this. Finish it off, Steve. Time. In the market. Finish it off.
I don't know.
No, that's not it.
Out in the market.
Oh, yes. The okie cookie. I'm in the market. Time out of the market. The okie cookie. That's what it's all about. Who said that? Which comedian was that? That was quite funny, that, I thought. But I said, what if that's what it is all about? The hokey cookie life. That's what it's all about.
Like Ross Noble or Harry Hill.
No, I think it was Peter Kay. What if it is what it's all about? That's your life. Oh, the hokey cookie, that's what it's all about. Is that it? Is that really the key to life? time in the market beats timing the market. It's hard to time the market. That's why most traders fail. And I've seen people on Twitter who are traders and literally get it wrong, miss time all the time, and they jump out too early, and the rise has been after them. And so, I think patience something is the hardest thing to do. But sometimes you have to sort of sit and do nothing with stocks, and because if your investment story hasn't changed in the company you're in, then you just got to sit there and wait. And do you know why that's? I just realised why that's hard. Do you know why it's hard, Steve? Why do you think it's hard? There's another good answer from Steve. You're happy, right? That's good. Oh, yes. I'm just wondering sometimes if Steve hears the words in the right order in his head. I wonder if it translates, and he just gets different kind of words. Are you like audibly dyslexic, Steve, that you get words coming into you at different times? I mean, the question I asked is, so the question I asked there was, why is patient so hard? You're happy?
twice a week.
yeah. Hello. So, Steve, your answer didn't even make any sense.
Not since yesterday.
Why is patient so hard? Happy? Happy with your wash?
I missed the patient's word, sorry. I just heard the other part.
It's hard, happy. Okay. All right. Patience is hard. No, do you know why I think this is?
Christmas?
No, do you know why I think patience is hard in investing? Because essentially, we don't have all the time in the world, do we?
Steve does.
No, we have a finite amount of time on this planet. That's all we have.
Oh.
We're all going to die.
Yes.
So sitting back and doing nothing is quite hard. It's like it's not an easy thing to do because you know
it doesn't come naturally. No. Yeah,
exactly, because you know basically we're all going to die. You know, so as you do something now, you know, make something of it, we're all going to die. But sitting back, like Warren Buffett, that's what he does. He sits back and just doesn't invest. Sometimes for ages, and he's 86, so it obviously works. But I'm not saying that's helped him live long. Because diet isn't very good, apparently. But, but he said... And the thing is, you do. Because I've done that before. I've sat in, and I got, this is going to be a good rise of this one. Even if it's a little punch stock or something. And I've sat there and then lost patience when we've had a downturn in the markets, you know? And I got out. And then all of a sudden, it's bagged. And I thought, oh no! Mm. And, of course, the more you trade, the more it costs you. So that adds up to costs as well. So that'll take from the bottom line as well. So it's just not, you know,
another thing I would say on that is that you're, like I've said before, because you're on it all the time and you're looking at it, whereas I'm not, it's not about patience. It's just that my eyes on other things
We have jobs, basically.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I can't think about it all the time, whereas you are. So like a good example, Blue Star Capital, you know, I was in it. I'm not going to pretend I was some sort of trading master, but it was just I wasn't on it. And then, yes, you got out because you got bored and impatient, and I didn't. But that's not because I was, you know, seeing some great big, you know, strategy. It just happened. But it was, so it's not about patience. It's actually just taking your eye off the ball or letting things.
I suppose But I mean, do you know what? This week on Twitter, some people on there saying they looked, I don't know, they've obviously looked at their last year's trading account and it shows them how many trades they made in the last 12 months. Okay. A nice lady on Twitter, who was quite nice, just said she had about 1,400 trades last year. And I said, really? Was it 800? It was something like four trades a day or something like that, you know?
Wow.
And I said, if you add that up, that's costing you like 1,800 quid or two grand or something ridiculous, you know? And so that's a nice bit of profit you've, you know, skimmed on. So I know I have to trade less now. So I at least she's aware of that, though, you know? Because sometimes you just go, because I see lots of people just trading all the time on Twitter. And I think, slow down, you sold this, you're in this, you're in that, you're out of this, you're in that. Say, well, give it a chance.
It depends on her return on investment, doesn't it? Like, you know, her 18 quid trading. It's fine if she's turned whatever in, you know, she's made 500% or whatever on everything. You know, it's all relative, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I think trading.
But she probably hasn't. Yeah. She, you know, because that's.
But the thing is, if you look at the, trading, investing, and that means, I'm just, what I mean by this, investing beats trading all the time. If you look at some of the richest people in the world, there aren't any traders up there in the top sort of 50. You know, there are investors like Warren Buffett and all that. And so I just think, you know, it's and something like 90% of people blow their account up in the first 90 days. You know, initial amount they put in.
I'd be a nightmare if I was focusing on this 100% all the time. I'd be tinkering here, there, and everywhere, and it would all be going wrong. But a part of, I think, where I've had some success or whatever is because I'm not, and because I haven't got the time to actually look at it all the time. So it's just there in the background. and I've had some good gains that, like I said earlier, it's not just because of some amazing strategy or I'm like some great investor. It's just that I haven't had time to look at it. Oh, there it's gone up. Lovely. You know, yeah. Being honest.
I got talking about Twitter, I got involved in a bit of a spat this week, an argument.
No, and who with?
It was over a stock that we, just some beers on Vissarion, VRS, cracking RNS start of the week. Took it to a quid. So this is, Graphene, of course, and Vissarion, other guys seem to be doing all the big sort of collaborations with big companies. And, they've been on the Neil's been on the podcast almost every week or every other week with an RNS, quite impressive. And then last Monday, this RNS is they're going to set up a manufacturing facility in China, which is, the biggest market in the world pretty much for graphene, because these are the guys at the cutting edge, of all this kind of stuff. And they reckon it's going to be a $200 billion industry, graphene, in China. And yet this Vissarion, a little British company that has signed a deal with pretty much the government of China to set up this manufacturing plant with no funding needed from Vissarion. And also they're going to go for then a sort of something akin to Silicon Valley, but they want Graphene Valley. They want a series of factories producing this stuff, and all kinds of research and development into it. And Vissarion are right at the centre of this, with no funding needed. And it went up by about 30-odd% on the Monday. And but there are a lot of people saying now that Vissarion is vastly overvalued. But this guy who went, he's known as a shorter. He's short stocks. He goes on spread bets, spread betting his shorts. So he's obviously trying to talk it down. And I'm thinking, yeah, do you know what? If you're looking at Vissarion from a traditional valuation standpoint, yes, 132 million, and I don't know, the revenue was, 10 million last year or something, or less than that. Yes, it is wildly overpriced. But, this has been said about things like ASOS or Rightmove from £6 up to £60 as far as ASOS is concerned. Everyone called it, when it started off its business, online fashion, and nobody else was in that space pretty much, or they were the leader there, and it was overpriced then, and people said this all the way up to £60, and that's the way that market, yes, they will have corrections, of course Vissarion will have corrections, and they normally come in growth companies like this, cutting edge growth companies, the corrections normally come with a big drops, one day drops happen after financial results, because obviously people will look at it and think, well, in fact, yeah, they've got a lot of catching up to do, their revenue for the thing, but then they'll sign a couple more deals and off they'll go again, and yet people will not touch them because maybe their valuation they invest on value, the value investors, and of course this doesn't fit the thing. And I'm just saying, a while back I said don't let revenue and profit get in the way of investing. You're here to make money, full stop. All right, so you need to sometimes just jump on the momentum, and you need to realise that it's like another one, probably not going to be as big, but I think it's, Symphony Environmental invested a couple of weeks back. It's in plastic. Yes, on traditional metrics, it's got revenue of about 9 million or 8 point something million, and only profit less than a million. Now, it's valued at 23 million, so that's overvalued, really, but it's the space they're in. Now, if they become very influential, it snowballs, the growth can be exponential. And so it comes out of left field. So you have to take these kind of risks of going on these. If you're after sort of to make money, why do people get hung up on profit and revenue all the time? It's not what it's about. It's about making money, investing in stocks and shares. Surely, if someone comes to you and says, why do you invest in stocks and shares? Well, because I like to earn, a couple of percent above the market rates, and or the bank account will pay me. No, you don't. You want to make lots of money, and that's what you want to do. Now, if you do want to do that, ignore revenue and profit and do some research into the companies and look at the potential. Because the biggest gains I've ever had, I used to invest, just in companies that had revenue and profit, all this. And that limits them, though. It limits them to, because, for example, if their profit is up, say, for example, 10% on last year, then pretty much that company may grow, 10-15% that year or whatever the share price, so it's tied to that. It's very much tied to that. With non-revenue companies, it's not. It's tied to hope and hype, and that is a lot more powerful than profit. Yes, of course, it can come back strongly, but you have to be in the right time to gain from that exposure and that momentum. But I'm just thinking you're limiting your options if you just tie your sort of research to profits and revenue and all that stuff,
But what you've got to insert there, I think, is the word current. The current profit and revenue. Yeah.
Because what you're saying, you're not ignoring profit and revenue, but you're looking at future profit and revenue rather than getting bogged down with what the current situation is. And you're actually riding, as you say, the hope and hype cycle to where, because that's all based on profit and revenue, isn't it?
It is
based on profit and revenue, but it's not the current profit and revenue. It's about what could happen.
Yeah, and do you know what? Sometimes when you see this spike, like Bitcoin now, may not get back to $20,000 for a while, right? But that initial spike is almost that initial spike that went up to $20,000. That's a glimpse into the future potential, you know? And you see this on a lot of charts of companies that have that initial spike, which is when people sort of realize how big that can be. And then people sort of sell off and start to worry a bit because, yes, they have gone too far too fast. And then people sell off and they get a bit worried. So it comes back down, settles, consolidates, and then slowly, you know, sort of shallows out, the fall shallows down, gets straight, and then starts to go back up again slowly. But the second, it is the hype cycle. If you look that up on a chart online, you'll see. Comes back down, then starts to build then. But that time, the second time it starts building properly is on substance of revenue and profit. But then, if you, like I say, if you wait for that, you're going to miss out on the massive, you know, rise in the first place. And there are people who are just snobs about, you know, oh, it's way overvalued. You know, they're not generating the revenue or the profit. So what? What are you in the game for? To earn some money. You're not just in it, you know, to judge stocks. You know, it's like this judgmental side of people. Like, oh, they shouldn't be this side because of that. They are, though. And you've missed out. That's why people get bitter about it. So, I mean, there's people on Twitter, and I can't be bothered to sort of try and argue people on, you know, and 240 characters or whatever, 280, whatever it is. But, I mean, essentially, you know, there are people that are bitter and missed out. And I think, don't get bitter. You know, it doesn't make you a better investor. Now, you want to be a good investor, I assume. You want to earn lots of money. Getting bitter at other people doing well doesn't make you a better investor. Just change your investment approach. If you want to catch those massive spikes, those several 100% spikes in companies, you've got to start changing the way you think about companies, and that's not just looking at companies that has revenue and profit. Because if you get in the wrong time on those, yes, you will get burned on companies that are pre-revenue. You can get massively burned. But you know, if you get in the right time and the right company, it's the only way. I mean, to earn cracking. I would have not earned. I've done really well in the last few years just on small caps, you know. And before that, I was in bigger caps, and I would never have earned anywhere near as much as I've earned on bigger caps than I've earned on smaller caps. So there's massive potential.
It never ceases to amaze me. There are buyers that go in at like really at the top of those spikes. I mean, incredible, like Bitcoin, 20,000. I mean, wow, you've got to have some serious kahunas or completely nutsy buying a Bitcoin at 20 grand. I don't know, that's amazing. But same with small stocks.
Yeah, but that's because they never think it's going to come down, you know? And,
I know, but you see it with the small caps of stocks all the time, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's good because it drives the price on, but you're like, I personally will go, well, that's not, it's not the time to be in it, which brings me actually to your sympathy in environmental, because I was looking at that and, you know, I was reading your blog about it and all of that. It's great. But then looking at the chart and you kind of go, yeah, okay, but the entry was down at 5p, wasn't it, back in January last year, or, you know, early part of last year, between 5 and 10p, whatever. It, you know, from what I've seen and learned from people at Asia Met and whatever, we were buying that at 1.5p, 2p, whatever, and it's now 10, or it's come back a bit. But, you know what I'm saying. You look at it and you sort of go, because I haven't got a bottomless pit of money, so what's the best use of my money? Going in at a stock that's already risen and where, like you said before, the potential to double is now is decreasing, isn't it? Yeah. Whereas it's to find the other stocks. So it's almost, I've missed the boat on that one, so don't get hauled into that. Mm. Look for another one where it hasn't had the rise yet, and it's down 5p.
Find your Vizar, you know, your Valrix that we do.
Well, exactly right.
It's a pretty
basic approach, but it's not a bad approach.
It's the old thing, buy low, sell high. And you get caught in stocks and shares, there is that fear of missing out. And you're right with Symphony, and I think it may come back to about 10, 12 pence. Because if you look on the chart, you know, at a previous spike up, it went from sort of 6 pence or 5 pence, like you said, or, you know, 4 pence. It went up to 18 pence. That's on that potential. People saw that, you know. They did a deal with the Middle East there. And in the Middle East, in Saudi, you cannot now produce plastic unless it's degradable, biodegradable. And so, and obviously with all the pressure of, but the thing is, if they come out with a big deal now from a big plastic manufacturer in this country, it'll probably fly, but it'll take a while. But I mean, yeah, I do you know what, I could sell out here. I'm probably about 10% up, if that, and wait for it to come back. But I'm thinking there could be that chance that it may have get one of those deals now, you know, that transformational deals that could happen quite easily. And so I'm happy to sort of average down here if I get in. Yeah, so what was I mentioning? I mentioned something else, actually. Talking about that, do you know what I was saying? I had Brian Larkin. Oh, hello, Brian. Fantastic. He was on the podcast on Friday. And right. And Brian Larkin's the CEO of United Oil and Gas. And yes. I'm mentioning about sort of stocks we were in earlier, Asia Met, for example. We're at 1.2 pence or something like that. We're up to 12 pence, 10 bagger. I don't know why. I know Sasha, the guy's involved as well, was involved with Asia Met and brought to my attention. He's involved in United Oil and Gas. But Brian, I mean, they've only been listening 6 months, and he did say when he first came on the podcast, he said, we're looking at, I talked to a lot of companies on the podcast, you know, and I think it must have been four or five who were looking at oil and gas assets in the last couple of months, you know. And Brian was one of those. And but he's stuck to the plan. He said, we're going to have a lot of news flow. And he came to the market with one sort of licensing deal. Now he's got quite a few things going on. And just one of them, I think the NPV, the one they did with Tullow Oil, they're ex-Tullow Oil, and Tullow is a very good example of what they want to do. I mean, they did get a little bit hit in the oil downturn, Tullow, but they're one of these companies that went from a micro-cap to a mid-tier, you know, and that's what Brian wants to do, and he's saying that's what I want to do again. And if you look at the deals he's done already, it's like in the last 6 months, it's phenomenal, and they're valued at 12 million, and I think already they could easily double on what they've done already, and they've just had their Italian operations just come through with strong gas shows. I think I may write a blog on them because they've done quite a few deals, but the one they've done with Tullow in Jamaica there is the various NPV of like 600 million, and in fact it's high impact, quite high risk, but they've also done and the thing is, Upland have been a bit slow. It's not their fault, but I mean, they're pretty much doing the same as Upland, but they're faster, they're doing a lot faster, you know, they've got this sort of sexy and sensible asset strategy where they've got near-term revenue coming in, but high impact, high risk coming in as well. But yet the revenue is underpinning, you know, the risk. So if they miss a big drill and they don't discover oil in a big drill, then it's still underpinned by the revenue coming in from the other operations. And so I think it's really worth looking at, you know, oil and gas. I like Brian, and he's sticking to the plan. I mean, there's been a broker report out this week, and the target is 11 pence, and that's not including their sort of Caribbean deal, the big one, the big high-impact thing. So that's, even without that, you know, they're saying it should be double from here, double the price. So it's worth looking at, you know, oil and gas. But you know what, I was thinking, when you break investments down, it's binary. It's completely binary. It's risk and reward. That's all it is, you know? And your ideal situation. Do you ever watch Dragon's Den when essentially they come on? This guy came on this week. I think it was an old one from Christmas, I think it was. A guy came on, and he's looking for like 80 grand, right? And it's a greeting card business in which you go online. And I thought, what's unique about this? You go online, and apparently if you create a design, you can get paid 50 pence for every time someone orders that card. But apart from that, it was like, you know, like Moonpig, you know? So he wanted 80 grand, and so there's nothing special at all. And then they asked him about his previous businesses, and he had two previous businesses. Sold the first one. Stop doing that, Steve, the hoodie. He sold the first one, made himself 6 million profit, and he sold the second business, made himself, 15 million, personally, this is to him, net to him. So he'd made 21 wow. million pounds, his last two businesses. So then you look at this guy in a different light, then you think, what's going on here? Why is this guy doing... He said, why do you need our money? You're looking for 80 grand, you got 21 million. He said, because I don't know the greetings card business. I thought, well, that should say something, shouldn't it, really? Even though you're a very good entrepreneur. He worked in conference calling stuff, software, all that before, and call centre stuff, and that's where he made his money. And I think, why is he going to greeting cards? But then he eventually did this deal, but the deal he did was, you know when they say, okay, listen, he wasn't happy with the amount of equity they wanted. He wanted to give them no more than 5%. They wanted about 10%. So they agreed on this deal. They said, okay, after 2 years, if I give you money back, will you go back down to 5%? And they often do that, don't they? So if I give you your money back after 2 years, will it ratchet it down to 5% of the business? And do you know why they do that, Stephen? Do you know why they do that? Sorry, Stephen won, I should say, because there's obviously a couple of Stephens on the podcast. Steve.
No.
Steve.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Were you not listening?
No, I was. I was replying. I apologise. I actually muted my microphone. I was wondering why. I thought you were being funny. I basically cleared my throat a minute ago and I muted the microphone. I forgot to unmute it.
Wait, are you cleaning your throat? How did you know I was going to talk to you?
He's waiting. He's
like, he's muted the mic. He was cleaning his throat for like 20 minutes, ready to speak.
Here comes my chance.
And then he missed it. Well, listen, what did I say at the start of that chat about Dragon's Den? Do you know what it's all about? Do you know what I say? What was the phrase I use? It's all about what? It's very binary.
So am I supposed to answer them?
I don't know. Steve, apart from saying a name, I don't know how else to indicate that I'm directing the question at you, Stephen. What do you suggest? Do I make a noise? Special Steve noise? What do you think? What do you think, Steve?
I didn't know if there was a question or not.
Well, it was a question, right? But there's intonation. Steve, what do you think? What do you think, Steve?
Three bags of carrot.
Right, so what they say is this. So I said, listen, I'll start off on 10%. You know, that's when they get the 80 grand. And then after you give my money back, after 2 years, for example, I go down to 5% of what the of equity in the company, you know? Now, they do that for one reason. They have no risk in the business whatsoever, do they? Once their capital is given back to them, it's basically all reward. And that's very similar to stocks and shares. If you can get in early and double your money, that's why you take half out, because there's no more risk. And if you've got an equation there that starts off with risk-reward and you remove the risk, all you've got is reward, you know? And that's it. And listen, if every investment you can remove the risk, you're laughing. You can't lose, you know? So that's why, you know, to protect your investment, if you get that chance to take money out, you should. I mean, sometimes you may be confident the company will go on further and further and further. But I just think in my position, I try and do it all the time, take half out. Because I think if you can create an environment where you have no risk in any of your investments, thinking, wow, and that's my for example, I don't really count now the stocks that I've doubled in, I've taken half out, even though they're doing well, because the original reason I invested is still, you know, still there, still exists. So that means they've gone past now doubling, they're tripling, quadrupling a few of them, like Vesarion, and I don't care now. I've got no risk in there at all, so I can just hold them and let them run if they need to, you know, or not, because there's no risk whatsoever. Just, it's all reward, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's good.
I tell what's annoying is BT. Do you see BT went down? Do you know why, though? There's a lot of dodgy things going on here. BT was looking strong, right? And and the last couple of days, it's been weakening. I thought, why is it weakening? Last 3 or 4 days have been weakening. But I think we're still seeing the bottom here. I think it'll be a bit of time, because even the 50-day moving average now is curling up. But so I think it'll be okay. But they announced an RNS came out Friday about their pension. Now, they're doing two things with their pension. First and foremost, they want to move all their pension onto, at the moment, it's index-linked for inflation to the RPI, or part of it. They got two bits of of their pension, I think. So they've got 296,000 people on the pensions, right, on pension schemes. And 213 of that, so that's 296,000, 213,000 people of that are on CPI, which is a consumer price index, which is a lower version of inflation. But 83,000 people are on the RPI, which is a higher version. So, I mean, they have to pay more to those people. Now, they applied to the High Court to get that other, the smaller part of the pension, the 83,000 people, onto the CPI, not RPI, which will cost them less. And the High Court turned it down, which is annoying. So that's why they've come back a bit. But the price came back but 3 or 4 days before that announcement. I think, what's going on there? That shouldn't have happened. But they're still in discussion with the trustees and parts of the workers, and they're going to switch from a defined benefit scheme, which is a very expensive pension. Essentially, it doesn't matter how well you're doing as a company, you've guaranteed employees a certain amount every year, you know, when they retire, or a certain amount at the end of the retirement. So rather than basically a link to sort of inflation or performance, you know. So hopefully they'll you know, they'll cut the knees off a lot of employees next year, pension wise, cut the legs off them, and the share price will go well. That's what it's all about. They're not the first. It will happen. They'll probably have to go through. The trouble is now we're in a situation where they're trying to do it smoothly. They're talking to employees. They're getting feedback on the review, on the pension review. But essentially, what happens is, like the Royal Mail, you end up going through. I mean, this is sort of priced in, I think. You end up going through a bit of a tussle with the unions and stuff, you know. So there may be a rocky road ahead, but I still think we're quite like. I think we're off the bottom here, you know, in our experiment. Mm. But
yes. Patience.
Yeah, exactly, patience. And God, utility-wise, you asked about utility-wise, Steve, didn't you?
Yeah, what do you think is going on there?
Well, people have likened it. The thing is, I think it took a bit of a hit as well, because they've obviously delayed their final results, because they've basically had a new board come in who swept out the old board, which, you know, basically were too enthusiastic with reporting, and they were taking too many advances, they're the in-between guys, you know, for energy contracts. For example, they'll go to the suppliers, the energy suppliers, and they're in between with businesses, and they'll go to an energy supplier and say, right, we got a business here. It's a, you know, 230 employee business. They want electricity. Can you do this deal with them? And they'll do a good deal. And they get paid up front for that contract for, like, based on this amount of consumption, this new business will be paying you this much for energy. So they'd be paid up front for that before, you know. And then all of a sudden, say that business, that big business, wouldn't be using it as much, or they'd move to a premises that's more efficient. And so they have to pay back a lot of that sort of revenue, you know. They've already had all the commission up front, basically, pretty much. And so they've changed that because that was too aggressive. And also they've changed the board, they've changed their accounting principles. So, and because all this massive change is going on, there's been a lot of uncertainty, you know, and the share price has taken a hammering. If you look at the chart there, are you in UTW, Pete?
No.
Oh, well essentially, their final results were supposed to be end of last year, or November, I think.
Yeah.
And then they put out to say, oh, it's going to be delayed. And they announced it's going to be now end of this month. But they did mention that, oh, we've talked with the banking covenants and all that. And that scared people. And what it means is that they've got a debt facility with the banks.
Yeah.
And all debt facilities, when they set them up, they're linked to, like, the earnings, for example. They won't go, like, three times over earnings, for example, you know. And if they do, they have to chat the bank about it, for example, say, we may go over our debt covenants or breach our debt covenants. Now, that may happen. They've said, the banks have said to them, it'll be fine, it's a temporary thing that's happening if they do go over that, because they're changing the accounting policies. So it's a lot of uncertainty. And obviously, you've got Carillion in the background that went through massively, and there's a lot of worry there. But I think, I'm hoping, it spiked down, right, previously when they first did this, spiked down to about 33 pence. It hasn't been that low this time around. That was back in August 2017. But I'm thinking, hopefully, Steve.
So it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Hopefully, though, I think, it's got that, on a technical level. But I'm hoping that this will be the end. If you look at the share price, I'm looking at it now, it's phenomenal. The share price was like 3.50 back in 2015. It's come all the way down. It's now 37 pence. So literally,
I remember being in it probably 2 years ago, and I think it was about £2.20 we were buying, and it's 30p now.
Well, they say the cash flows. Wow. Of the business will not be affected, because they're still generating the same amount of cash, but they're saying they're being more conservative. So this time they will not, for example, before they take in revenue for say a big contract that would last for 3 years, and that would be reported in that 1 year. But now they're spreading that out. Starting from this year, they're spreading it. So let's say they do a contract that's worth, like, you know, 20 million to them, or say 15 million to them. They won't now put it into this year's, you know, report. They'll spread that over 3 years, for example, and they'll reduce it as well by 80%, by 20%, just in case it's less, the commission is less, and they won't have to pay anything back. So that's why they're taking a massive hit. So they'll rather than report 15 million, they'll reduce it by 20%, and so you get 13 or 12 million, and they'll spread it over. So only this year they'll report, say, 3 million, next year 3 million, and the year after 3 million. So that's why it's taking a massive hit. But the underlying business is still doing as well as it was. So it's just this changing round of accounting principles. I think, Steve, it should fly. I think
are you in it, Steve?
Yes.
When did you get in on Justin's advice? I mean, you did your own research. Yeah,
of course. I'm 21% down after this week.
Cool.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, we don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. I would say normally average down. I have averaged up and down when it's been bouncing around, and I'm about to say the same down, Steve. But someone said, are you averaging down? I said, well, not really, because at the moment, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Yeah. So I don't want to overexpose myself to uncertainty because it may even crash, you know. But if it does crash, it's one of those environments where nothing more important. Of course, we obviously got that rule in there. Don't overexpose yourself to one stock. So, you know, if you only ever do a maximum 10% exposure to one stock in your portfolio, if it all goes wrong on that one stock, then the maximum you lose is 10%, you know. But I think sometimes even a little bit less if you want to, 5%, you know, between 5 and 10%. But, yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things like prepare on the results day. It may fly, you know, it may fly. But I think pretty much this is all priced in. Surely now it's all priced in. You know, who knows?
If they've still got the volume of work, like you say, so the cash is still coming in, they've still got the volume of revenue, and they've still got the contracts, then, you know, there shouldn't be too much cause for concern, really, should there?
Well, there's been a lot of cause for concern, isn't it? Because they were the darling of AIM at the start. When they started off.
No, but you were saying the cash flow is
the same. They said yes.
So
yes,
exactly. I know they've had problems in the accountancy and all the, you know,
yes. So the reason why the debt levels are going up, of course, is because they're not going to take as much cash up front now, and they've had to pay back the clawbacks. I mean, so they've had to increase their debt levels to pay for that, and that's affected the profit. That's affected the profit, of course, of the company. But the cash for the business, the generation of
underlying business
exactly.
is still exactly. pretty good. Maybe I'm just trying to be optimistic for you boys, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know what you're saying. Yeah. No, exactly. I think hopefully, fingers crossed. You know, and that's the way to invest. Fingers crossed. It's going to go all well. You know, just. So in answer,
delaying results is never good, is it? It doesn't look good, doesn't feel good.
No, well, they say because they were on IFRS 18 or something, and now they're adopting.
That sounds like an excuse to me.
Yeah, it is, but and they're adopting IFRS accounting standards, International Financial Standards 15. And that's what they're adopting. So there's so much work going into this, and apparently their auditors were being audited themselves, which means they had to have someone else to look at. So, yeah, that didn't look good. So their auditors were being audited. So they couldn't sign. So they couldn't sign off on the accounts. So that delayed things. So, it all doesn't look good. We'll see. You know, Steve, we may just lose our money here. It may just fly. It's one of those 50-50 jobs. It's very risky. But if it's okay, and they sit in the last statement, they said cash flows will not be affected, and there's a temporary, obviously, extension of their debt with the banks and stuff, then this could fly over the next couple of years. It's one of those ones to get into, because they reckon they're going to be paying dividends again next year. So it's one of those ones.
What, were they?
They were paying dividends, last year, but it stopped. It's one of those ones that could fly and could be a genuinely decent business that'll come from here to, because with the market cap now, it's literally 29 million, and the revenue's almost double that. No, it is. The revenue for last year was 90 million. So, you know, doesn't take a lot. Anyway, I think that's enough, guys, isn't it? You've talked way too much.
Yeah, I know. Sure.
Steve is
sorry about that.
Anything happening, guys, worth, you know, on a lighter note?
Lighter?
Lighter?
No.
Are you dating Pete?
I bought a lighter.
Are you dating Pete?
Am I dating Pete?
Yes. Are you Pete dating Pete?
Is Steve dating Pete?
I know.
I hope not.
That's a solution, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I'm not sure how drunk I was last weekend.
What? No, I'm not. Should I be?
Oh, by the way, are you in Caudal Minerals?
No.
No.
Right. Okay. Marvellous.
Why?
I can't be in everything.
No, because there was a good lithium player, so, and they came out this week and confirmed that that the licenses were under question, but they're not. Now they confirmed they're fine. They've done some more sampling, some more lithium drilling, and it's good sort of minerals, good grade of minerals there, good grade of lithium, I mean. So it's all looking good there. Anyway, no, don't worry, if you're not in it, don't worry, it's fine.
Don't worry about that. You've missed out.
But anyway. Okay. All right, there, boys. We'll have any plans for the weekend?
I'm going to
Barbados.
You know that famous Caribbean restaurant we usually go to when we come and see you? I'm going to a copy of it in Cardiff this weekend, or tonight actually. Yeah.
Is it called Penguin Place?
No, it's called the Ivy Head.
What the Ivy Head?
What?
The Ivory Shack.
The Ivory Shack.
But it's pretty much a complete rip. Well, it's not a rip off. It's just very similar.
Turtle Bay. It's like Turtle Bay. I know, Steve, I got that because you actually WhatsApped me about it.
What? Didn't
you? You WhatsApped me about it.
About what?
About it.
About the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, you know, I accidentally messaged you, didn't I? Yeah, of course. Sorry, you confused me then.
You went, hey, Sam, fancy going to IRE after work for a bite to eat? And I said, and I looked at it and said, what? And then secondly, sorry, wrong group. All right. All right, lads, we'll have a nice one. And, you know, thanks for chatting.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.